Hello, time travelers. Welcome to the Aging Journey podcast, an actual play podcast where we go back in time and play RP games themed around time and growing up in a variety of systems. I am your game master, Tanya, and this is The Red Bridge, a children's fantasy adventure using the Kids on Bike system inspired by works such as The Phantom Tollbooth, Alice in Wonderland, Jumanji, and The Wizard of Oz. We are playing Kids on Bikes, a tabletop role-playing game that allows players to explore a mysterious and supernatural world set in a small town during the 1980s and 90s. Our players embody characteristics called tropes and roll dice based on their brains, brawn, fight, flight, charm, and grit. The higher the stat, the better their skill. Each player has a top stat where they roll a d20 and a bottom stat where they roll a d4. In this game, dice explode, where if you roll the maximum on a die, you get to roll again, infinitum. Our players for this campaign were made from scratch, and tropes are custom. There may be mature content depicted in our gameplay, but the players and I are using safety tools, and all content warnings will be in the description below. You can listen to the audio of the podcast on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, or the Aging Journey website, or watch it on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter, join our Discord, or support us on Patreon. All links will be in the description. Also, don't forget to subscribe. Well, I think that wraps up the spiel. Enjoy the journey. Hello, time travelers. Welcome back to the Aging Journey podcast, inaugural campaign, The Red Bridge. Content warnings will be listed in the description. We have returning for this adventure our players.
I'm Mr. Triggerfish. I'll be playing Caleb Mattentalk.
I'm not quite normal. I'll be playing Jimmy Breach.
I'm Am, and I'm playing Juke Baldwin.
I'm Bix. I'm playing Willow Khan.
And I am your GM, Tanya Lishia. Quick season recap. We began our Kids on Bikes adventure in the little big town of Shady Creek, 2 hours south of St. Louis, Missouri. Sat between a city and an open prairie, Shady Creek hosts the pride and joy of the town since its inception, the infamous Crab Apple Harvest Festival. Much has happened in the short few weeks between May and when the festival began on June 15th, 1996. And it is currently still the night of the second day of the festival, June 16th. Only 2 more days of the festival where the entire town shuts down as if it's a holiday, and just 2 months from the beginning of the school year. So, last we met, Juke and Caleb met the Rapscallions after their epic showdown at the open mic night at the Harvest Festival, where they won first prize and were invited by the Rapscallions to open a show for them later in July in St. Louis. On their walk home, Caleb and Juke kind of have a heart-to-heart about their dreams about a train and a strange land where they hear a high whistle and playing a game from their childhood. Caleb confesses his fear that the game might not have been a dream, but was indeed reality. Meanwhile, Jimmy returns home with a mind to rid his home of the crab apple hoard his father brought home from the festival, only to find that his father is working late into the night and has kind of already made like a 3-course meal of the apples. He spends the night and most of the morning in a bit of a frenzy of thought, but he does realize a lot about how the game and the orchard are intertwined as he takes solace in Clem Woods. All the while, Willow follows a black rabbit into a mall and stealths past 2 guards, breaks into the main part of the mall as well as the inner part of the mall just so that she can go to a store called the Nonconformity, where a note she found from her Aunt Hildy hinted that that is where she needs to be, but is abandoned by her friend or creature, the black rabbit, so close to her goal, and she's not able to gain entry into the store. And this is where we find ourselves once again on night 2 of the festival. So, what is Willow doing?
She's gonna grab as many bobby pins off her bag as she can, and she's gonna see if she can make the ultimate lockpick out of them. Make them sturdy enough.
Okay. Interesting. I'm gonna say that you have this tool, but even picking the regular lock was a bit of a farce. Like, that was lucky. This is a harder lock to pick, and you still have regular bobby pins, so you'll have to do two things. You'll need to kind of hodgepodge some sort of strange, like, super bobby pin so that it'll fit in this keyhole. So let's see if you know how to do that. Go ahead and roll your brains. I think the DC is going to be 5.
Oh, I got a 3.
Okay. And then, so you make this kind of twisted, mangled mess of bobby pins that you hope will work, and you shove it into the key lock and try to finagle it. So we're going to go ahead and call this a fight. Go ahead and roll your fight. This is going to be quite difficult. So we're going to say it's like a 15. So, you know.
I only have a D6.
You'll have to explode a couple times.
I got a 5.
I'm assuming you don't have enough adversity tokens to get up to a 15.
Nope.
So you jam your hodgepodge bobby pin into this steel lock, and you hear a bunch of clanks and a bunch of scraping. And as you're like moving it around and like trying to pull it out, it's stuck in there real good. You're not getting that bad boy out. And those were all your bobby pins.
Well, shoot.
That's exactly what happened. Willow just stands there and goes, well, shoot. What are you doing now?
She just like starts rummaging through her bag trying to find something else.
Okay. I'm going to say while you're rummaging through your bag, you hear a door open and close. And you hear footsteps as you've been trying to get into this room, and it took some time for you to get all the way over here. And so you can kind of hear someone coming from the security room, and they don't see you because you're around the corner, but you can see the light of a flashlight. Most likely this is someone going to do their rounds that they're required to do, like every hour or something like that. So they are going to make rounds, and eventually they will see you. But right now you're around the corner.
Is there anything that can hide behind or in or something?
Mm-hmm. You look around and there is a trash can.
She dives into the trash can. I'm sorry, I have to actually do this in a play suit, so this fits perfectly.
Go ahead and make a flight roll as you dive into the trash can to hide, and the security guard makes his rounds. DC is going to be 7.
Nat 20.
Oh my god.
She dives into the trash can.
I mean, that's an explosion, so roll again.
25.
Wow. Yeah, you like dive head first. Really great dive into the crash can, and you are completely unseen, unheard. And even when the security guard comes around the corner and like you see the flashlight go around, it seems like he's a bit lazy, so he doesn't actually like look at the door. So he also doesn't find your bobby pins, and he just kind of turns around, does his quick rounds, and you can kind of still hear him walking until he gets back to the maintenance door.
Perfect.
What are you doing, Willow?
She's in a trash can currently. She's like, so as the guard passes by, the sudden idea and realization is like, you know what? They would probably have a key. I'm gonna follow him.
Okay. He turns around. He continues his rounds. Are you gonna follow him until he continues his rounds, or are you gonna wait for him to come back until he goes back into the door, or how are you trying to sneak up and?
Well, since he's out, do I hear any keys on him? Like, does he have keys on him?
Also that 25, yeah. You hear that he has some jingles, some jingling.
So she's going to wait for him to pass by again. She's going to try to like, sneak right out from behind him and try and snatch the keys or something. Like, see if he has the right key or something. I don't know. She's just James Bonding it currently.
Okay. I'll say on that 25, you are able to hide enough to where he doesn't see you as he passes by. You're able to even get out. You're even able to get up behind him as you like follow him, and you're able to stay stealthy that entire time. However, at the moment where he is like stopped for a moment, as he's kind of like looking like he's like turning, that's going to be your time to grab them before he goes back into the security room. If you want to do them while they're out here, is that what you're trying to do?
You know what? She should probably just continue to follow him to the security room. See if he sets them down somewhere or something.
Okay. You follow him to the security door. He opens it. He goes inside. Do you follow him inside?
Yeah, should I try to like go in before like the door closes or whatever and like find a place like kind of like hide or just continue to follow him?
Okay. You go inside. This is the security guard that was napping. So you go inside, and this time the light is still kind of like off, but the police officer that was there is gone. And the security guard goes back to his seat. He kind of changes the channel to like another channel. It's actually like a black and white movie that comes on. He kind of turns it up. And so now there's like sound in the room. And I'll say that you're kind of like stuck in the shadows behind him. And he sits back down, puts his feet back up, and starts eating Cheetos. But he's watching TV now. So now he's awake.
I wonder if this is where the scream part comes in.
Yeah, you do see a ring of keys that are hanging from his pockets. And so if you want to sneak up to him, I'll say you can still do that on the 25, but you'll need to make another check to grab them because they are connected to his belt.
It's like one of those like ones where you have to like pull it, like squeeze it to open it.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to say that's like a brawn. So you'll have to beat a DC. Hold on. Let me check if I have stats for the security guard, actually.
So the snake is snake.
I do. Because this, okay, this is the same security guard that Caleb would know.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And so he's not really paying attention, but he did just do his rounds. He is awake, and so he's not the best security guard, but I'm gonna say it's gonna be against his grit for him to notice what you're doing, and he has a d12. So go ahead and roll, and I will roll for him, and we'll see.
I wonder, how is he sitting in the chair? Is he, like, leaned back, propped up again?
Yeah, he is.
I want to be like, if it doesn't work, I want to see if I could just kick the chair out from underneath him and run. Just, like, take the keys and run after freaking kicking the chair out from him.
Okay. Well, let's see if you can do that reaction once you roll. So go ahead and roll your bomb. Okay. I'm going to roll his grit.
Oh, I got 4, so it explodes.
Well, he got a 3.
Oh, I got 5.
Okay,
so I don't need to kick the chair from underneath him.
Thank goodness. You are already behind him, and you do click the keys off, but as you click the keys off, you hear like something like go on. So it's like a large piece of machinery go on, like it clicks on, maybe like an air conditioner or something. And so as you're taking the keys off of him, he's going to like get up to go into the maintenance hallway. And so he gets up and he's going to turn to his right. So go ahead and roll your flight again. And
how dare you? Got 17.
Okay. He's probably like not going to notice you because he doesn't have a high. But we're going to do his grit again just to notice you. Okay, so you got an 8. So he stands up and walks over to the maintenance like hatch hallway. And he opens that door and turns on the light in there. And so now light is shining from that room into the main security room. So even though now he hasn't noticed you, when he turns around to come back into this room, he will see you. So what are you doing?
Did I get his keys? I was reaching for his keys.
You got his keys.
Okay. Well, then I'm going back out the door that I came in.
Okay. You go back out the door and you are back out into the main Shady Mall area.
To the nonconformity to see if these keys work.
Mm-hmm. You go to the nonconformity and you forget that you lodged a bunch of bobby pins in the keyhole, so you can't use the keys.
God damn.
This Wile E. Coyote Willow is really just lovely. But
she's like, ah, yes, I'll put Caleb's crime to shame. Proceeds to say that the lockpicks are in there.
You really are trying. I still feel like he would be really proud just because you are really 100%ing it.
No doubt. With those last few rolls, Caleb is smiling in his sleep right now. 100%.
And when you show him that full ring of mall keys that you now have.
Oh my goodness. Caleb.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He's buying Willow snacks for the next month just because of it.
Yes. So unfortunately, you have two problems right now, Willow. You cannot get into the nonconformity. Because it's jammed up. And if you go back, you're going to have to figure out when to go back into the security room and hope that the security guard hasn't turned on the light. Because he had already turned on the light in the maintenance room.
She's going to try and pull the bobby pins out of the lock.
I can tell you they're not going to come out. They are with that one you had, they are jammed. You number one, someone is going to see that eventually. So I would probably stop putting your fingerprints on them. and then second, you at this point, I'm going to say it's probably like midnight, 1 a.m. The guard is going to continue to make his rounds. Eventually, he's probably going to see them. So I think at this point, you need to cut your losses.
But what kind of door is it?
It's a security front door for a shop and a mall.
Oh, right. There's no way for me to, like, climb, like, sneak in or something.
No. It's a full door.
Gosh. I thought I got everything. I do all this stuff and then I don't even get to go in.
You really tried.
You did good. Damn my rabbit accomplice for not helping me out. She kind of just, like, stands there holding the keys. She, like, tries to jam, like, just stick one of the keys in and lock it. It doesn't work, so she just stands there staring at the keys, extremely disappointed. And then she just grabs them and just, like, ugh. God damn. Caleb, I will make you proud one day. I'll figure out how to get in here.
Sorry. Just said Caleb like you're about to summon him and he was just about to appear before you.
Yes, Willow, you have called me. She just has her fist up to the sky like, how dare.
Actually, Willow, roll your grit. Your DC is going to be, let's say 9.
Let's hope I get a good roll then. God! How many adversity tokens do I got?
You did just fail just then, like twice. So you do have like 2.
I'm gonna use some of my adversity tokens. I have enough. I'm gonna use just enough.
Okay.
So I need to get rid of, hold on, math. I need to get rid of 5, so. Alright, there.
So Willow, as you stand in front of this door, realizing that you just cannot get in and you're really upset and you're thinking, you know, very strongly about both Caleb and this bunny, as the bunny abandoned you and that you want to make Caleb proud, you are standing there staring at this door and you do simply do a normal blink. You find yourself transported with only the wisps of black smoke around you. And you are in Caleb's kitchen.
What?
What the hell are you doing? What?
Okay. I was trying to get in a place and now I'm not even there. She's like, oh my gosh.
Okay.
I broke into your house, Caleb.
Oh, not again.
All right. She's just like, she's like, stands there. Does she stop? She still has, she grabbed the keys.
Yes, it is 1 o'clock in the morning.
Just in his kitchen. Someone's gonna walk in and just see a silhouette.
You are standing in Caleb's kitchen. All the lights are off because most people are asleep, except Caleb has been out with Juke, and so he might actually still be up. So I'll ask what Caleb is doing and when he thinks he would have gotten back and what he would have been doing at 1 o'clock in the morning. But you are standing there with your backpack, smelling of trash, with keys in your hand. Caleb, you probably left Juke around like midnight 30, and then like went back to your house. So you can decide either you're coming back home just that moment, or you've been home and you're doing something.
I think Caleb is just coming home about now, like heading through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
He took his time to walk, to just think, and he's gonna step in through the front door of the kitchen.
He just sees a silhouette, just an ominous silhouette of Willow in kitchen. No idea how she got there.
Let's hope he can identify it's Willow, because I'm pretty sure Caleb knows how to throw a punch.
No.
Well, let's see. Willow, you've just been transported in like a blink of a moment and you have no idea what's happening. But I'm going to say that you are actually looking towards like the fridge. And I think I explained that Caleb's kitchen is like, there's like a bar where the stove and like there's like a window and like all of the kitchen stuff are on the other side of the bar. So I'm going to say you're like looking away from the door. Like away from the front door, and that's behind you.
Gosh.
Caleb is walking in, so he's gonna see the back of you. And I think
I have a disguise on too. I don't think he's gonna recognize.
Yes, you do have a cap on because you didn't want to be seen by the cameras. So I will say that Willow, in this moment, I will say that you're horribly confused, and what you're doing what would happen is you're trying to figure out where you are in a split second while you hear someone walk up behind you. So go ahead. Go ahead and roll your grit and see how you're handling this. And then Caleb, walking in and you're seeing this figure of someone holding something in their hand and having a ball cap on, and they are looking towards your kitchen. And you're either going to have a flight or a fight response. Which one would you have?
It's a very small person, though.
This is a split decision of like just what you see when you walk in. It's either like I'm going to confront, or I'm going to like be quiet and try to walk away. Like, which one would you do?
Okay, I was about to say Caleb would throw a punch, but since it's a small person, he'd consider tackling them.
Okay, I mean, I got my dice exploded, so I got a 20.
Great.
Okay, thank God for that.
So then, that means, okay, we'll get to what that means. Well, Caleb, go ahead and roll your brawn.
Oh, good. See how that goes. That is, did it explode? No. Okay, 7 plus 1.
Okay.
So 8.
So, Willow, in this moment, as you kind of stand there, you've been in this kitchen like a lot. So like a lot. Like this is
just
your
like,
best friend's kitchen.
I recognize this place.
Exactly. So I think when you are standing there, you're very, very confused on how you got here. But you also understand that from what you can tell, it looks like Caleb's kitchen. So you're really confused about that. But you're like, how the hell did I get here? However, you're still looking away from the door, so you do still hear someone come up behind you, but because you don't feel like this is a stranger's place, you don't necessarily feel like, this is like dangerous. So I'm going to say that in that moment, as you like hear someone come up behind you, you start turning around to like face the person. And in that moment, you see Caleb coming at you.
Oh my gosh.
So we'll see what this interaction looks like as we'll kind of, I'll let you guys play it out. What happens?
It's the fact that she's like standing there. It's just like, what? And then she just hears Kale. She turns around and sees him. And she kind of just stares at him and just like, what's happening?
Does Caleb recognize Willow before he tackles her?
I will leave that up to you with an 8. I'll say that you can be like, you know, being like, oh, I'm going to, you know, try to get the jump on this person. But this person is now turning around. So you can make the decision to just like go harder to be like, oh, they see me. Or you can take a moment and be like, oh, maybe I know this person. That'll have to be your decision in the moment.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like maybe it would snap into his focus at the last second that it might be Willow, because it is canonical, and Bix can confirm this, that Willow has broken into Caleb's house before.
Okay.
On different occasions.
Yeah.
So he kind of just jerks to the side to prevent himself from tackling her.
Okay. I will say that because I think you were on edge when you met with Juke, but you took a long walk, I'm going to say you calmed down, so I'm not going to make you roll grit to see if you keep your cool in this moment. However, so I'll let you kind of like literally last moment as you kind of come into view and finally can see that it's Willow, but under a cap, and she's like dirty and she has keys.
She just has a banana peel on top of her head.
Right. You're still going to be like, okay, well, this is still strange. Like, this isn't normally how she would come into my house at 1 o'clock in the morning, even though that's not really that normal. So it would still be a little off, but you would not see her as a threat last minute.
Thank goodness. Yeah, Kayla just like tumbles to the side. He's like, Willow? What the hell, man? Cooper, I thought you were okay. You got something on your head.
Yeah. Hi.
What? When did you get here? Were you waiting for me?
No, I was just in the mall trying to break into nothing.
What? Wait, what?
Great cover up.
She like hides the keys behind her back. It's like nothing. Yes, I was totally waiting here. I seem to have fallen in your trash can, and she just like picks the trash off from the top of her cap.
You're not the best at lying, are you?
No. And she kind of just like pouts.
You never were. All right, come on. Let's get you cleaned up from whatever the hell happened, and you can explain whatever the hell happened before whatever the hell happens.
I hope I make you proud. I got keys. She just like holds up the keys. Just the ring of keys from the ball.
I am going to say you guys catch up as you get cleaned up at 1 o'clock in the morning in Kayla's probably bathroom at this point. And Willow, do you tell Caleb this whole night shenanigans?
She just says, well, I tried to break into a store, then I couldn't, and then there was a cop, and then there wasn't a cop, so I broke into the store again, and then there was a cop, but he didn't see me, so I snuck around him, and then I went into the place, and then I couldn't get into the place, so I had to go back in and sneak behind the cop after hiding in a trash can, and I got the keys, and I ran away, and now I'm here, somehow.
Somehow. Okay.
So yes, you get a rundown, kind of. Of what happened.
You get the bare minimum of a rundown, no context, nothing.
Right. She's all explaining this while Kayla's just trying to pick out trash from her clothing.
Mm-hmm, essentially. And we'll let that montage, as we also see a montage of Jimmy writing in his journal to the wee hours in the morning. Jimmy, I want you to make a grit roll. Your DC is going to be 15.
Damn. Oh boy, big grit. Okay.
You got this.
Do I? Let me put my.
If I say you got this, then you know it like boosts the dice.
I got this.
There That's you go. Work. Exactly.
Gonna have to explode. It's a 7. Mm.
You have been furiously writing. You've stayed up all night. You are exhausted, or you look exhausted, but you actually feel energized. I mean, It's almost like you didn't even need to sleep. And as you stand up, as the sun rises at 5 o'clock in the morning, you finally get to see, as the sun kind of comes into the little treehouse, all of your action figures and all of your treasures. There they are. They're on the ground. They are all standing on their own, and they're all looking up at you. Then Juke, you have made it home. You are probably in your room now, getting yourself settled, but you still have the box with the game and this that strange conversation that happened with Caleb as you kind of get ready for either bed or anything else you wanted to do.
Yeah, I think Juke's just going to kind of crash into bed and like lay awake thinking about, kind of going back and forth between like, I should be really excited about everything that happened, and then Caleb was weird and I don't know what's going on, and kind of just lay there for a long time thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead and make a grit roll. Your DC is gonna be I think at 9.
Okay, that's an 18.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's twice as much as the DC. So you are laying there in bed and something, I think, clicks with you almost the same way it did with Jimmy over his many, many nights or many, many hours of kind of thinking about it. But something clicks with you that Caleb is kind of right. There was a game that you remember from your childhood, and it shouldn't be important, but you understand that somehow it is in this moment. But what's the most strange is that you definitely know that what's happening in Shady Creek has to do with the festival, like the crab apples, the orchard, like it's getting real weird around here. But what that has to do with the game makes no sense. And I think you realize in this moment that like they really shouldn't have any connection. So you guys are you're like missing something. There seems to be a connection between this game and the weird stuff that's happening right now in Shady Creek. But there doesn't seem to have a connection. Like you're realizing that there's like a missing piece that nobody seems to have knowledge of. And that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do anything with that. Just...
I think as you're lying there, you're like, what the hell am I supposed to... You're literally asking, like, what the hell am I supposed to... Like, I think you're just realizing that the game should be something separate. And what's happening in Shady Creek should be something separate. But I think with your 18, you realize that they are somehow connected. You just don't get it. Like, you just don't understand why. And you're wondering why they even have a connection to begin with.
Right. And I just really want all of it to go away so that I can just be a rock star and be happy.
Hell yeah.
I think that is what happens with all of you throughout the night. And then you all finish the festival. You either attend the festival or you either, you know, go to some of the events of the festival. Jimmy, I'm assuming you try to find the rest of the crab apples at your dad's house. I'm going to say right now you don't find them.
So. Should have got to them earlier.
Yeah, you need to have gotten to them earlier. Juke, the people that you met that wanted to hang out with you, they, you know, you got their like contact information, you know, their landline phones and whatnot. And you can make the decision now or you can wait to let me know if you and Caleb have another conversation about the band and if you guys decided to, you know, meet up or reach back out to the Rapscallions to confirm whether you're going to do something with them in July. So you can do that now or you can be like, we'll talk about it, but we won't make a decision until, you know, like later.
I think we can make a decision later. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that works for me. Oh, is it okay if we backtrack a little because Caleb wanted to have a conversation with Willow? you know, just to figure out a few more details.
So you're going to have to do that in retconning.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's going to be my next question. Willow and Caleb, you guys talk about what you have experienced. Willow, you've experienced. Caleb, you can divulge whatever you want, but you guys will do that, you know, together, essentially in this time, but not like in game. And then whenever in the future we want to bring up this conversation, you guys can go more in depth about it. But we are moving on to high school. we're pushing forward.
Wow, that took a long time.
I know. And we just cannot get away. We all love summer. I get it.
We all got stuff we got to say, man.
We can't have this season, the whole season, be the summer before you
can. Summer can last forever.
It's the summer. So the festival happens. A lot of stuff happens. You guys have a lot of conversations. And you continue to work out these friendships, and I don't know, some friendships that are kind of turning into frenemy type of situations. And so you can kind of think about, make notes about how you would move forward in the rest of the summer so that you kind of have an idea. And I would suggest you guys, you know, converse with one another as you have been doing, but kind of have an idea of what your relationships look like when you start on the first day of school, which I think I said it was going to be like August 16th or something like that. So like the middle of August. So it'll be 2 months from the festival to when you guys start. So that's a long time to get closer to someone, to pull away from someone, for secrets, more secrets and conversations to happen. So you guys will have that time. It just won't be in recording.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
You sound exhausted.
Gotta move on. Okay.
We made it.
So that is that. So for the summer, as I said, you guys are going to talk, you guys are going to think about all those things, but there are a couple of things that you'll need to kind of decide so that you're ready for the first day of high school. Number one is, what type of, like, I guess, family are you going to be, like, family interaction is happening. So what's going to be required on the first day of high school is you all will need to go at the same time. There's going to be a whole welcome week, but for the very first day, you guys are going to go at the same time, and you're going to go with one of your parents. Like, you have to have a parent there that can make sure that you get everything squared away. It's going to be a whole...
Damn parents.
Yeah, I know. So for Caleb and Juke, I'm thinking that your dads would come, correct?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Well, if he could take a day off.
Somebody's going to have to. You're all going to have an adult, so I want you to choose who the adult is.
Caleb is the adult.
Sorry.
it'll be his dad.
Okay.
I think Juke's dad would be like really into it, like,
yeah,
shaking hands with people and
yeah. This is definitely for Juke, probably his dad's alma mater, just like many people. But there are some people that didn't live in Shady Creek and go to Madonna High, so there could be people, your parents, who didn't go here. But yeah, no, he's excited to go back. Willow, I think your dad would definitely take the day off so that he can go with you. And then Jimmy.
Yeah.
Would both of your parents go, or just one? Or not both your parents, but would your
Tanya, how dare you?
Come on.
Would your dad go, and your brother?
I think it would be my dad, but I don't think he would realize that he had to go until recently, because I think mom would usually have taken care of it.
Right. Okay. Let's see then. For Jimmy, since I kind of need this answer so that I can kind of plan what the first day looks like.
Yeah.
Remember that I said that the last time you saw your dad when you went out was when he was doing something on the floor and you didn't really pay attention to that, and you left and you're coming back. So we're going to kind of skip over like your interaction with the dolls and at the treehouse. We'll still dive into that later, but let's just say you come home, right? And I need to know, I basically need to do something so I can figure out what it'll look like. So you were out all night, you came home. So from your dad's perspective, you're home. So let's say you come into the side door. I'm going to need you to make, as you walk in, I'm going to say this is going to be grit because you're kind of in a bit of a manic state. So go ahead and make grit. Your DC, I think, to notice this is going to be, it's going to be probably high, 15, I think.
9.
Okay.
Almost as high as I can go.
You come in and you look around. And again, remember that you're in this strange state of I would call it heightened mania. Like you've been up all night and you're kind of like buzzing with some sort of foreign energy. Also, I'm going to say that whatever interaction happened between you and these sentient dolls did not end. So you are coming back and you can almost as like you look around, it's almost like you're seeing like a different layer in this house. So like it's almost like you have Hitman vision from like Hitman. Or like Batman vision, Batman Arkham. Yeah. You can kind of, so like when you see items, they seem to like jump out at you. Like they seem to be a little bit more like heavy and real and brighter than other stuff in the room. And it just, and they're usually things that are toy-like objects. So you notice that. You also notice that when you get back in, your house looks like really clean. Like your house is usually not this clean. In fact, it's almost never clean. And when you left, it was getting even messier because your dad was on the ground doing stuff. But it looks clean. It looks vacuumed. It smells nice. You haven't really seen your house looking this nice in quite some time. It's early in the morning. It's about 5:30. And your dad usually doesn't get up this early, but you can also hear someone in the kitchen and you can even smell breakfast. What would have been your favorite breakfast growing up?
My favorite breakfast? Ooh, I think blueberry waffles.
Blueberry waffles, warm syrup, perfectly warm butter. You haven't had that in a while because your mom used to make that, but that is what you smell coming from the kitchen.
I'll go into the kitchen.
Jimmy, you walk into the kitchen from your clean living room to an equally clean kitchen, and there is someone standing at the oven or at the stove making waffles. Jimmy, what does your mother look like?
She's kind of short. Probably around like 5'5". Slender, kind of short brown hair that she keeps kind of cropped close.
There is a woman standing in your kitchen making blueberry waffles. And it looks like your mother. Her back is to you. And she is cooking waffles, so you can't see like the front of her face. But you kind of see that same vision from like when you came into the room of everything's kind of popping out in terms of like color and saturation and almost like certain things have like an outline, like the little spatula that's on the table has like an outline. And it seems to be more vibrant. Your eyes are not necessarily playing tricks. Your senses are seem to be really, really heightened on certain objects. And the woman standing there also looks exactly like that. She's wearing a beautiful white dress that is stark and white and almost glowing. She has an outline of almost like a light fuchsia pink. And does she have a specific smell about her that you would remember?
I think the smell of flower. She loved to be out in nature, and so that smell would come in with her.
In a vase on the kitchen counter on the other side of her where she's cooking, you see a vase of, I don't know, like flowers, like spring flowers, like a bit of a bouquet. that's sitting there, and that kind of wafts over to you. For all intents and purposes, if this isn't a dream, to your eyes, it seems that your mother is standing in the kitchen.
Jimmy is just kind of a little shell-shocked and standing there quietly for a second. And then he kind of steps into the room. Mom?
You say something to this person and she turns to look at you. And indeed, her face looks like your mother's face. And she sort of just looks at you and does a small smile, but she has very sad eyes when she looks at you. But she puts the blueberries on the plate and puts the plate in front of you. And in between, when you kind of are looking at her and looking at the plate and blinking, this apparition of this woman disappears. But you do have a plate of blueberry waffles sitting on the counter now. And so I think we will leave this session there. And we will pick up on the first day of school next session. And you guys can figure out what you did for the rest of the summer after all of these interesting experiences.
Well, that's one word for them.
You're terrible. You're absolutely terrible.
You're welcome.
It's definitely giving me a Night of the Body Snatchers vibe right now. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Your mom was the first one to be taken.
Yeah, that's not going to go over well.
Well, you guys have actually had some really good roles this session, but the grit roles were really instrumental this session. So really interesting to see how all of this, like all of your realizations of what's happening is kind of affecting you. I don't want to say it's kind of driving you guys insane, but out of all of you, Juke is pretty sane right now.
No. Jimmy's already halfway there, so.
Do you think Willow's still sane? She had a freaking tentacle rabbit. She.
I don't know. I would not.
Willow has not been given a lot of chances.
Willow was the first to lose it, I feel.
She lost it a long time ago.
I think Willow kind of came into the game that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She just started today with, like, I'm going to choose violence.
She got to know, and it still won't let her, and decided to bring her to Caleb instead.
Oh.
Yeah, you went all in on crime.
You really did.
And then said, nope, you need to go back to your freaking room.
I'm so proud!
Wonderful.
It's the best, though.
Thank you all for listening. We hope you are enjoying the campaign. Don't forget that you can listen to the podcast on the Aging Journey Podcast website, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Links will be in the description below. Don't forget to follow or subscribe. You can also support the podcast on Patreon or join our Discord. Enjoy the journey.